Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Right, it's 8:31, and Jamie, what's your official title now? The 105 Chef.
105 Chef.
You've changed your name.
Known as Drive Chef on social media.
Yes, Drive Chef Jamie on social media. Breakfast stole you away. Although I'm not sure, you said you're not sure how you're coping with this today.
Breakfast is...
he's going to be fine.
I'm okay. I just need to get up about 2 hours earlier.
You don't need a transfer back to Drive. No, Lucy won't allow that.
Get a bacon sauce.
No. Okay, so we're going to talk to you about what you brought in and the Newmarket Food Weekend first, and then we'll get on to the questions in a short while. So
yeah, so basically this weekend is a free festival, free food and drink in Pally Street in Newmarket, which is being hosted. It's more of a charity event. There's food demos. There's a food demo stage, which I've helped to organise with my boss, Sean Melville. And we've got some top chefs coming along locally. We've got Rosemary Schrager, who's on at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Who else do we have? We've got a few of the local colleges coming in, and we're doing some competitions. I'm on at 2 p.m. on the Saturday, just after Rosemary, followed by Adam Spicer, who's the head chef at the Tack Room. And then on the Sunday, you have a David Elliams at 12 p.m. from the Tamblyn in Cambridge. Mark Elvin, who's from a Norfolk part of Norfolk, at 1 p.m. And then Dan at 2 p.m. who's part of the colleges. We interviewed him, if you remember, the Hungarian chef.
Oh, yes.
So he's doing a demo on Sunday, yeah. So it's going to be a great day. The dish I brought in is actually a take of mine on an East Meets West. So it's got Asian influence in there with some English ingredients and a touch of Italian in there, if you can see the amaretto biscuit.
Okay. Oh, is that what it is? So there's going to be a little bit of a sweet note to this. So you're going to be making this on Saturday?
Saturday, yes. So it's a very, very simple dish. It's very easy to make.
Sure.
Okay. Well, it looks technical.
It looks very technical. Go on, take us through it.
So what we have is we've got tandoori spice there. So how you make that is cumin, paprika, turmeric, and some other little spices. So you mix all that. You get your cod and you just sprinkle the spice over the top. And what I've done is water bathed it because we can't cook in the studio, can we?
That's what you brought out there.
So what I did is backpacked it and put it in a water bath, brought it to 65 degrees and then cooked it in the bag. But what you can do is just pan fry at home.
Yeah.
And then what I've also done is some almond foam. So my idea with the almond and the apple is to calm down the spice with the fish, so to speak. So the apple, I've used specifically Granny Smith apple because it's got that sourness and it's level. And then with the almond, what I've done is toasted some almond flakes, got some almond milk, and then put it into the almond flakes into the milk, left it, just sat on the side for an hour. So I've released the oils and I've released the sweetness of the almonds.
Right.
And then it's really infused the milk, which calms down the spice as well. And then the sweet potato puree, what I've done is, all you do with the sweet potato puree is, instead of using oil, what I do is melt some butter down, add chopped sweet potato to it, saute it off with no colour, and then add some cream, and then let it slowly cook out, releasing, breaking the elements down, and then just blitz it down in a food processor. And then that's your puree, and then pass it through a fine chinois, which is a fine sieve. And then what I've done is an apple gel, which is set with agar.
I love the colour.
Yeah, so what I've done is, because I've used Granny Smith apple, I've coloured it with to make it look vibrant and look like a Granny Smith apple. So it's got that colour and it's got that texture, really. So you got it's really simple ingredients, just done very finely, really. So yeah, that's the dish.
Is it quite sweet?
Not really, no.
No?
No, it's the...
So what was the foam on top?
That's almond foam.
Oh, that's the almond foam.
So that's the toasted almond foam. And I put that into a gas canister, a foaming gun, and then I release some gas into it, leave it for 5 minutes, give it a good shake, just be careful not to blow your head off with the gas, and then just release it on top, really, so yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So
beautiful.
That's what we're cooking this weekend. If any of the listeners want the recipe, just get in touch and I'll forward it on to them.
Excellent.
Signature dish, and it's quite popular. With the almond amaretto biscuit, it's just to add that texture and crunch,
a little bit of crunch.
Yeah, because it's quite a soft dish, really, with it being water bathed. Yeah.
What about cod these days? It's not quite as rare and scarce as it once was a few years ago, is it?
No, it's quite easy to get nowadays. And
how much does it set you back now?
This fillet here is sets us back about £1.20.
Okay.
From our local supplier.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and on Saturday I'm going to actually be using monkfish because it's more of a meatier type of fish. I couldn't get any for today, so I had some cod knocking around, and it will be a bit more meatier for the plate, really, for people to try. So, yeah, it's really good. And sometimes I do it with scallops. You can have it as a main course. You can have it as a starter. I prefer it as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those dishes that is, you know, I find quite easy. And it takes about 20 to 30 minutes to make, if that, from scratch as well.
Yeah. As a starter, would you maybe, like, take one or two of the elements off?
No, I'll leave the elements on. Yeah. I'll just cut the portion size down of of the cod.
Beautiful. Well, it looks beautiful. We're taking a photo. We will tweet it out later. And we'll grab a fork in a couple of minutes, shall we?
Yeah.
We will do so. So, details on this weekend, once again, quickly.
It's gone on the What's On page on the website, Cambridge 105 website.
Has that just been added? Is that what you were chatting with Karen out there?
Yeah, yeah. She was like, I didn't know about that. I was like, yeah, I forgot to mention. But it's on this weekend in Newmarket, Palace Street, which is just off the main high street. Loads of local suppliers that come in. There's loads of samples going around. Rosemary Schrager's doing a book signing, so if anybody wants a signature from her with the books, then go for it. Just loads of local suppliers, and I'm going to be there Saturday and Sunday.
Sounds great. Is it ticketed, did you say?
No, it's all free.
Oh, okay, you just turn up. Brilliant.
Yeah. And taste loads of different foods.
I might see you there.
I think the Anchor and the White Pheasant are doing gin tastings as well, so there's some free gin knocking around as well. So
I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll see you there then. I'll be on stage panicking a bit.
Right, Jamie is here, and we're going to grill him with some questions.
Yes, we are, because I've noticed the past couple of Fridays that he's been crawling in. He's got great guests, and we just kind of talk to the guests, like, and we almost ignore Jamie, and I can't lose Jamie, so I am questioning you.
I'm marching away.
No. Right. So I put a little call out to our listeners and friends and family for some culinary questions that they would like a proper chef to give a proper answer to once and for all.
I should have had some breakfast this
now,
morning.
Now, I got quite a few ridiculous questions, just ignoring. First one I got was about eggs.
Eggs.
Everyone loves eggs. They're very versatile.
Yep.
And what people really want to know, particularly Phil, he wants to know, how do you do a properly poached egg so it looks beautiful like they do on the TV? His always look wet and messy.
Wet and messy?
I know what he means.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen a wet and messy egg. So, poaching an egg, the key for me, and what I always tell the chefs at work when they're training, is white wine vinegar.
Yes.
So the acidity brings the egg together and keeps it bound. So what I do is bring it the water, some sea salt in there, can be table salt, just a bit of seasoning, add a splash of white wine vinegar, bring it right up to a boil, then turn it down so it's gone down to a poaching, so it's not rapid boil turning.
Is it bubbling at all?
A little bit.
Simmering?
Just simmering, basically. And then what you can do, and some chefs are really particular with this, and that, it irritates me, because come on, guys. Some people stir the water, so it keeps the egg together. Some people put the egg in a ramekin.
Yes.
So they crack the egg into the ramekin, straight into the water, and then it keeps it nice and bound. And something that Jamie Oliver does, which I've seen in one of his cookbooks, is he actually puts the egg into puts cling film in a ramekin.
Right.
And then he cracks the egg into the cling film, ties the cling film together, and poaches the egg in the cling film.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, that's a good idea.
To get the perfect poached round egg.
I might give that one a go, because I always feel like they're wet, you know, because they're boiling in that water. So I might try that. How do you tie it up?
How do you tie it up? Just tie a knot in it.
No, like, elastic.
That's
band.
The least of your worries. That's the least of your worries.
Okay. But it is a bit fiddly.
It is fiddly.
I think that's not. There's no challenge in that, though, is there? Because I think poached eggs are a bit of an art.
I crack mine straight into the water.
Like, you could start a whole conversation with people if you say how.
Well, this is what
eggs.
Has happened.
You do. My parents are always talking about it. And we try all the different. Every time you go on the a different chef says something, we try that thing. And I mean, I have poached eggs every morning.
Every morning?
Pretty much.
So you must be pretty good at them.
So you like poached eggs in the morning, then?
I do like poached eggs.
I like mine, scrambled.
I go scrambled because I find it the easiest option.
But I find fresher eggs, the fresher the eggs, the easier it is.
Well, I've got chickens, so I get fresh eggs every morning.
That's why you've noticed. If you have slightly old eggs, it goes all like stringy.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And if you get fresh eggs.
Right.
Well,
next question.
Next time we're doing a feature just on eggs alone.
Absolutely. I could.
This is going to be interesting.
Moving on to the next question.
Here
so,
we go.
Heard from Joanna. She is a mum of two under twos, so fairly busy.
Yep.
She's looking for inspiration and ideas for quick midweek dinners other than pasta and stir fry, which I think they're all getting a bit bored of.
Yeah. Well, my advice would be what I do, which we spoke about in the past, is I spare about 3-4 hours a week and batch cook. So when I get home, I could just get something out of the fridge straight into the microwave. But if you're looking for something quick and easy to cook, then I would recommend doing a stroganoff, which is just chop down your onions, chop down your mushrooms, saute them off with a bit of paprika, a touch of white wine, any meat you want, doesn't have to be beef, put that in there, touch of cream, done. And then you just get some microwave rice straight in the fridge.
Easy.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it goes down really well.
Yeah.
Really well.
It's a nice comfort one, isn't it?
And it's coming up to that time where it's comfortable. Another thing would be bolognese, so to speak. That's really easy. Chop down your mirepoix, which is your carrots, your celery, and garlic and so on. Saute that off, add your beef, and then just add your chopped tomatoes straight there. Boom, done. Easy.
Lovely.
Okay.
Easy peasy. Good stuff. Now, we had one from Lawrence. He got in touch this morning. I think we know what he's up to tonight. He's looking for a quick and easy flatbread recipe to go with his curry because he's forgotten to buy the naan.
Flatbread recipe?
Yeah.
There's plenty out there. Just go on the online and find a flatbread recipe. They're really easy. I'd recommend seasoning it with some olive oil in there. And, you know, basically, there are recipes out there where you just roll out the dough and pan fry it straight away and it's done within a minute, really.
So none of that kneading, none of that resting?
Well, I'd give it a rest, obviously, because you want the flour to...
You say obviously, Jamie.
I'll take it for granted, don't I? You know, sometimes when I listen back to these shows,
I'll just poach an egg, make a flatbread.
I know what I'm on about sometimes, you know what I mean? So, I'd rest it, but just to let the flour and the dough proof and let it rest and let it breathe a little bit. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you get this horrible texture like cardboard if you cook it straight away.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so that's where you get the natural
air going into it. Yeah,
it.
And it's really nice, yeah.
Lovely. You mentioned scallops while we were listening to a song, and Sandra, who's a competent cook, cannot get scallops right. She wants to know what the secret is.
I'd like to know how she can't get it right.
Mm. Well, I think aren't scallops quite difficult? Either they're underdone or they're
the thing is with
rubber.
Any fish, it takes seconds if not minutes to cook. You know, it doesn't take a long time. You know, I've just walked in here with a cod and I'd put it in a water bath at 65 degrees.
Yeah.
5 minutes, it was done.
Yeah,
perfectly cooked. With scallops, what I recommend to do, and with anything that you're pan frying, is get your pan on the heat, get it very, very hot.
Yeah.
And almost add a touch of oil, and when it starts to almost smoke, you'll see a little smoke come off, and it's all, you know, it's that fine line, and then you add season your scallop, salt and pepper, put your scallop in the pan, and then you hear this noise.
Yeah.
And we say it to chefs in the kitchen, I'm like, can you hear that noise? Because sometimes they never do it. And I'm like, what noise is, you know, exactly? You know, you need that searing, that sound. And once you know that's going, you just leave it for about 20 to 30 seconds, one side, flip it over, do it the other side, perfect, and take it off. Oh, touch of butter,
towards the end,
touch of lemon juice, and then baste it. When I say baste it, you take a spoon and, you know, I'm doing the action now, aren't I? You take a spoon and you just put the butter over it, and then that the fat of the butter will give you that extra flavour and seasoning, really.
Beautiful. 20 to 30 seconds
I'd say between 30 to 40, really. Yeah.
Because I think some people get a bit afraid that they're not going to poison themselves.
The thing is, though, we eat sushi, you're not going to poison yourself.
Yeah.
See, I'm a chef, so when I'm making chicken mousse, I will eat that raw, so to check the seasoning.
Chicken mousse.
You know what I mean? So don't overthink these things. There are guidelines out there. Me as a chef, I'm, you know, quite trained. My body's, you know, come to this realisation that long hours tasting things and so on. And I'm constantly tasting things raw, so don't worry about food poisoning.
Okay.
But then, please don't get food poisoning. I've said that.
Disclaimer. if we've got time, Tim. Yeah?
Yeah, one more, yeah.
Can I have a little personal question?
Okay.
I was cleaning out my cupboards the other day, and apparently, quite some time ago, I bought 00 flour.
Throw it in the bin.
It's expired. I don't even know how long I've had it for it to expire. Can I do anything with it?
I'd probably just throw it in the bin, really.
Oh.
I wouldn't risk it. You know,
risk what? What's the risk? Poisoning myself?
Well, the flavour of it, it's just going to be horrible, and whatever you make with it, it's probably be discoloured, if anything. You know, when you make pasta with 00 flour, you know, you get that rich golden look of the pasta, really. But with this, I can only imagine it being grey, really.
Oh,
and it oxidising very quickly.
Have you opened it?
I can't even remember.
But then if you try making a pancake mix and then cook some off with the flour, roll it up and see what it tastes like. If it tastes all right, use it.
Okay.
Taste.
Has that flour got less of a shelf life? Because I've never
I wouldn't say so, no. It's just not going to be as fresh as what you'd like it to be, so to speak.
Flour doesn't last all that long, does it, when you buy it?
How many years have you had?
Well, like a year or so. It's not like years and years.
Quite a few years.
How many's a few years? About 10.
Like, I would say getting on to 4.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that a long time?
But then, I've known people have tinned stuff in the cupboards that have been out of date by 6 years. Do people not, like, do a stock rotation of their own cupboards now?
No, darling.
So when you do your food shopping, what I do is go through all the cupboards, and I've just got this constant thing of making sure, I'm going through my stock, really.
Come around my house, I think I need a bit of a sort.
It's a bit over the top, really, isn't it?
No, it's perfect. I wish I could do that.
It's been great, great. Yeah, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've got one quick question for you as well. I think I know the answer to this, but I always ask this, and I've heard this about with other chefs. How do you make the perfect roast potatoes, please?
Potatoes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think I know what. I'm interested to see if you give me the same answer.
We're definitely doing Christmas special.
I've heard
Christmas special with Julian last year with this. So basically, you get your rapid. You put your potatoes into water, seasoning again, salt and pepper in there, into the water, get it boiling. So boil your potatoes first. And then I'd say for about 10 to 15 minutes. And then you take them out of the water and to a colander, shake them up in the colander and roughen the outsides.
Yep.
And then what I do is I get olive oil, butter, thyme, garlic and rosemary. I put it in a food processor, put it into the pan, and let it all start smoking again. Ooh. And then I put my roast potatoes into it, shake them about, and then straight in the oven. Mm. So it's nicely coated with this seasoning.
And when you put them on a baking tray, do you have to make sure that none of them are touching?
I never put them on a baking tray. Cook them in the frying pan, and then put the frying pan straight into the oven.
Oh, okay.
So all the flavours in there. But just if you check them after 20 minutes, give them a toss, and then you get that equal
coating. But if we will be putting them into our baking tray, do we need to put oil in that, more oil in that baking tray? No, just them in dry, from the pan.
Make sure it's preheated.
Just straight in. But make sure the oven's preheated. So
obviously.
The tray's fine.
Easy. All right, then.
Well, you say it's easy, but poaching an egg.
You'll have to do a Christmas special and an egg special, I think.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, definitely.
I think so. Thank you very much, Jamie.
That was great.
Back next week. Louise says, if you add spices, herbs, etc. to the cling film, it adds flavour to the egg whilst it cooks. So there we go. That's another tip from Louise there.
Thanks for that.